Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time, a Cazsource Family production. In this episode, we are going to talk about interning, perspectives of a college student, and the tanking of the New York Jets. Our guest today is John Priori, an intern at Cazsource and a college student at Western Carolina, and of course, a big Jets, Knicks, and Mets fan. John is a marketing student at Western Carolina who is originally from New York. He scored an intern with us at Cazsource this summer, and we will let him tell that story as we go. In his internship, he is focused on supporting the marketing side of the business, the CazCM business line. He is responsible for support and execution of day-to-day social media distribution, as well as content creation. He brings perspective of the millennial generation and incredible drive to succeed. He is very much focused on the long game, and we just love that about him. The ultimate goal with John, the intern, is a full-time job when he graduates from Western Carolina University in May 2018. Let's get into the show. John, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives podcast. Great to have you today.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me.
For sure, for sure. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of get into 10 thoughtful questions, and then we're going to break it down and do a little bit more of a rapid-fire approach at the end. So you ready to get started?
I'm ready. Hit me.
All right, cool. So you heard the intro about you, but of course, we can't do it justice in just one opening statement. So tell us something real about you that the audience doesn't know.
All right, yeah. Thanks for the intro, by the way. That was a good intro. I enjoyed it. One would be that I'm a quadruplet.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's four of us. We are all 21, as well as I have another sister who's 2 years older than us. That really was interesting growing up with four people the same age. We all went through school together. It's two boys, two girls. So me and my brother fought constantly. We had the same group of friends. We were always together. So you know how that was, but
yeah.
It so definitely created competition, and yeah.
That's awesome. So was it easy at times and hard at times? Like you're hanging out with your brother and all your friends, you guys get along and then don't get along back and forth? Yeah. Drive your mom nuts.
All my friends know about that. We've had the same friends forever. So we would always just hang out, and then me and my brother would just start arguing, and then, you know, just the brotherly bickering. And yeah. It was easy because there was always someone to hang out with, even if no one was around. Like, we'd hang out, play video games, just talk. And then it was hard because we were together all the time. So,
That's very cool. Yeah, you don't run into, before you started working with us, I got to say, I've met twins, I've met triplets, I have not met one who is part of a quadruplet. So I think that's really cool. It's very unique, the story that you have going on.
It definitely is. It's very unique, and it's a good topic starter, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So, and you guys are all off doing your own thing now. You know, you're here with us, and you're interning at Cazsource, and you know, you have your family, and your brothers and sisters are off doing their own thing. So while you're very close-knit family, you guys all also just get out there and do your thing. So, and kind of segueing into that part of it, your day-to-day work here at Cazsource, and you kind of came in, like I said before, on the marketing side. But I'll turn it to you more. I mean, I have an idea of what your focus is, but you know, you have your own goals and dreams with it. But on your day-to-day stuff, what is your ultimate focus? And then what is your ultimate goal for the business, our business, and then for yourself?
Yeah, well, my day-to-day work since I've been here on May 8th has been exciting. I've learned a lot about business, running a business from you, CEO. The day-to-day tasks, the behind-the-scenes stuff, and growing the brand, that is my focus, at least, like seeing it take off. I love watching things grow. So going from, say, 4 clients to 20 clients would be a goal. I love seeing, each day-to-day thing that I do directly impacts the company. So it's not where I'm just going to grab coffee as an intern. Like, we're doing social media stuff for clients. We're help building our own brand at the same time with content creation. And so pretty much for myself, all I want to contribute and do the best I can. I don't want to just, you know, sit here and slide under the table. I want to be a part of it. Like, I see where it's going. The culture at Cazsource is great. I enjoy it. I enjoy everyone around here. And everyone's really been a good mentor for me, too. I've learned a ton of valuable information. And so the ultimate goal for the business, I would say, is to help continue it growing and to focus on the future so we could be around in 20 years and not see it fade out. And a goal for myself would definitely be to not allow this relationship to end in August, as most internships do, or just cut out cold turkey. Like, I like being a part of it. I like contributing. So being here long term would be a goal for myself, and just helping you, helping Scott, a coworker, and helping clients just build their brands and succeed.
That's awesome. No, that's great. I mean, you have a good you have a good grasp of it all, obviously, and with you thinking ahead, thinking long term, we'll get into that more. That's a big part of what we're doing over here, and anybody that we bring into our team, we want to have that same type of culture you talked about. And I would stress that for any business owner. When you talk to, we talk to business owners all the time, as you know, and we always get them to hone in on what is it they're trying to accomplish, and anything that is in and around them should fit that, what they're going after, that culture. So you see it, and we urge our clients and the business owners that we talk to see it as well. So moving on from that, and removing all of the stuff that you do for CadSource, CadCM, and Sportspreneur, which is I would say that's one of the big passions that you have within our business and writing about sports and writing about business. But what is your passion? And that can be two ways. You know, your passion could be in your personal life, you know, as far as like, let's say sports, but what is your passion and the thing that you can do every day? Like, what wakes you, what gets you out of bed every day to just get you all excited?
Well, I'd say my passion that gets to get excited about my day would be making an impact. Like, so whether that be for myself, for someone else, like, anything I do, I'll try to think about others, like my family, my friends, girlfriend, like anybody. So I'll come here and I'm obviously the intern, but I'll be thinking long term about it, as we just spoke about. So how does this affect everyone else? So trying to not only make them proud, but like create stuff that they can see, like, so I'm making a difference, I'm doing stuff, and I'd say that's definitely what keeps me going.
Yeah, that's huge, man. Well, we talked about before, as you've helped create the beginning of this podcast, and now here you are on an episode of this podcast, and we talked about we're going to come up with content ideas as it relates to the podcast, and I think we just came up with one right there. I actually made a note of it, so the title of it, I could see something along the lines of making an impact, the journey of John the intern, and you talking and getting real with yourself and with your audience and anybody that's interested in reading about it. That's a blog post. That's another article. That's a video that we can absolutely explore on. And again, this goes to other business owners that we're talking about getting real with who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. And it just comes across so well to your audience and to your clients and to anybody that's interested in reading. So that, again, made a note of that. I think we'll get into it. And it kind of leads me to the next question too, which is, you know, you're studying marketing in college. You're doing a lot of work in marketing with us right now. What perspective do you have of the marketing industry? What do you see other marketers doing, business owners that are doing some sort of marketing? You know, as someone who's a millennial that's, you know, been on the computer and an iPhone almost like the life that you remember, how do you see, what is your perspective of the marketing industry as a whole?
Well, my perspective is that it's definitely changing. You see it going away from the billboard, the traditional like magazine ads. I'm not saying they're going completely away, but you see more people focusing on social media marketing, email marketing, online advertisements, because it goes directly to the consumer. Like, and analytics are getting so big now in marketing that you can track it all like easily through your cell phone. Like, everyone has a cell phone in their hands, and I see a lot of marketers really capitalizing on that, because when you see an advertisement on your phone, you can target it directly at who you're trying to reach. as you know, like we've been trying to, like Facebook ads does a great job of that. You can get to the exact person you want to reach. So I see that as my perspective of the marketing industry is that it's more shaped around who exactly who you want to do, whereas it used to be more of just getting a creative ad and throwing it on a billboard. In obviously you know where you want to put it and all that, but the advancements of social media and technologies has really played its part in marketing.
Do you think business owners, as it relates to that, are taking advantage of it, or do you think people are still caught up in the old way of doing things?
I see a lot of people are still caught up in the older way, and I think they'll catch on eventually, especially as the millennials start to enter the business world, because a lot of them are still in college and still learning about this stuff. So I think they will eventually catch on to it and really nail it on the head, because you still see all the billboards, all people focusing on the older stuff, whereas I feel as a millennial, as a view of a millennial, it should be more technologically focused.
Right. So obviously, I know you watch TV. We all do. Are you watching commercials?
I'm not. Okay. Mainly, I watch Netflix. The only time I watch commercials are when I'm watching sports.
Okay. So when you watch sports, it goes to halftime, and then you get a bunch of commercials back to back, or actually during NFL games, mm-hmm. right? Like it's right. like you score a touchdown, extra point, then you have commercial, kickoff, commercial, back to the action. What are you doing during those breaks in the action if you're not active?
Right. So if I'm watching just like a playoff game and there's no other games on, while there's a break from the action, I'm going to get food. I'm going to the bathroom. Like, I'm not watching the commercials. However, with NFL Sunday Ticket and all that, so I'll find myself flipping through games at the commercials instead of watching commercials.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that's huge in the marketing industry that they need to realize, at least, like people aren't watching commercials.
Right. Now, are you getting on your phone and getting on Twitter or Facebook or wherever else and engaging with other people during the games or during timeouts during the games?
Yes. So especially, let's say for a Jet game, like, I'm paying a lot of attention to Twitter, all the reporters, what they're saying, and then connecting with other fans, talking about the game, talking about what's going on. So it goes back to my point of social media, even while you're watching TV, where, say, some marketers are focusing on the TV, on commercials, most people watching the game will be on their phone, which is where you can go get them. You can go reach the people watching the game.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Totally agree, and it's amazing that the amount of money that still goes into this type of advertising when no one's watching it, and when they are watching it, and there is a commercial that comes on. I mean, personally, I have three kids, so it's very common for me to actually watch a game on tape delay. You know, it's hard. If a game starts at 8 o'clock at night, like, I'm putting my kids to bed. And now, don't get me wrong, if Ohio State's on, I'm watching that game, and I'm watching the game in full. But I'm recording it and I'm watching it later. Now that's going to prevent me from getting on my phone, which is actually not a bad thing. But, you know, I'm just not receiving text messages or looking on Twitter, so I don't know the score of the game. But to me, I'm watching the game live. So it doesn't matter. But it's wild how the lack of consumption of commercials on TV right now is there, and people are still so focused on it. So I think I agree with you that there's a huge opportunity in the industry. So I think it leads to a huge opportunity for any business owner. Forget if you're trying to advertise on sports, which I'm sure most of the people here aren't. It's just a really good example to look at, that you can get exposure in the marketplace today. It is not too late to jump into social media marketing that people are talking about, to create a blog, to create a website, to do all these different things. It's not there yet. Like, it's not even close, I would think. And I think you would I think that's what you were getting at before.
Right, definitely. I agree with that. Let me ask you, just a curious question, do you watch live TV? And if you do, do you find yourself watching commercials?
No, I don't. Unless I am just absolutely exhausted. Like last night, I was flipping through and there was nothing on. I just wanted to watch a little TV like late at night. And there's a few commercials on, but I wasn't paying any attention, you know, and I was looking for, like, like we used to do, where you would just try to find the next thing to watch. So if the baseball game was on a commercial, I'm moving to something else. So that is, and that's rare. So a lot of times I'll just leave it on the station. I'm not flipping around like I used to probably 10 years ago. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at my phone, or like you said, doing something else. But I'm definitely not looking to watch commercials. And, you know, I think the other night we watched Netflix the whole time and saw absolutely no commercials. And if I needed to pause it to do something, it was to look at my phone, not to go try and find an ad.
Yeah.
That's good. So we talked about the marketing aspect of it. Now kind of moving on more onto a macro, the economy, the overall view of the economy coming from your perspective. It's definitely changed for different generations as they're coming out of colleges. You know, we've seen people come out of college during the the mortgage crisis, right? And they couldn't get a job and people were getting laid off. But, you know, right now the economy seems to be doing well. You know, we just came off of a July 4th weekend, which is actually still going on because it happened in the middle of the week. So gas prices, I saw a gas price somewhere, it was for $1.99 a gallon, which is just insane. And, you know, they're saying this Friday, July 7th, is going to be the number one travel day of the entire year. So clearly people are getting out, they're traveling, the economy's doing well. But coming at it from someone who's a junior in college, is going to be a senior, is looking for a job. Hopefully, as you already mentioned, you're going to be working with us for a long time. But how do you view the overall economy from your perspective?
Well, I personally think it's doing great. If you ask other millennials, they might not have the same answer. But from my view, I think it's doing great. Like, there's a ton of ways to make money in today's world. Like, creative ways. You just have to think about it and do it. So there's that. And then there's a bunch of money being spent, which goes into other people's pockets, whether you're a gas station worker or an employee at a fast food restaurant or a marketer. Like, it's going into the pockets of the American worker. So there's a ton of ways to make money, a ton of ways to spend money. I think it's going great, right? Gas prices are low. So where the job standpoint, it just depends. Like, this is where I think people going into college need to do more research on the four-year layout of what they're going for. So if you say you're going for art, you kind of have to create your own path, get more creative with it. So I think the jobs are there. The economy's healthy in my eyes. And I think, yeah,
that's good. That's good. I like to hear that type of perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a lot of times you hear the negative side of things and that's true. And you have to be cautious and you have to, you know, but like you said, if you do the research and you have a reason as to why you're doing all these things, and then ultimately, if you have, what, going back to what you said at the very beginning, if you have the drive that you can make things happen, more so now than ever before. It might be harder to get the actual job, but you can go out and create something. So that's a good view of what's going on. So, and you're kind of going into the fact of what happens in your 4 years and what's the plan. And so you're in the education system, and we hear a lot about how the education system is failing our country. It's failing the youth of our country. For someone in the system and someone who's about to come out of the system, what is your thoughts on education right now?
All right. Well, first, I am a believer of education. I think education is very important. Whereas nothing beats experience and experience in the real world. As I've learned these last few months here, I've gained a lot more knowledge than I have my years in school and stuff, because you're applying it. Like, applying it is the key. So you can take whatever you learn in the classroom and think about it, but if you never apply it, you're not really learning anything. But I do think the education system helps you with things such as social skills, reading, writing skills, that I see a lot in people who went to college versus didn't go to college. This is more college-based than like high school and elementary school. But you see a big difference in social skills, writing skills, reading skills, all the pretty much the basic necessities. So I think at the minimum it helps with that if you're not getting other things away from it. But like, learning is big. Applying it is the key. That's what I would take out of it.
Yeah, that's good. So you're obviously surrounded when you're in college and out of school, you're surrounded by millennials. You are a millennial, You've talked about it a little bit before. If you were to kind of take like an overall theme of it, there's, and we have an article actually that just came out today, the day we're recording this, about the millennial generation. And I have a belief that you should not leave the millennial generation out. Like, there's every generation has been made fun of for whatever it is that they've been made fun of for. That includes my generation, yours, and much older generations. But those generalizations are there. So now it's kind of going back at it. What is your overall feel of your millennial friends? Not specifically your friends. We don't want to throw them under the bus, right? But you know what I'm talking about.
Well, a lot of millennials get pinned as lazy and getting everything handed to them, whereas I don't see a lot of that. I see a lot of harder working. It's there in some, I will say that, like the stereotypes are real, which is always going to be. But I mean, you have to give them a shot because they're the future. Millennials are the future. Like, there's a ton of them, and they can provide benefits to whatever you're doing, whatever company you're running, or whatever, anything. You can't overlook them because they're the ones buying your products. They're the ones contributing to the everyday tasks of your company, and they're definitely, you can't overlook them. That's it.
Yeah, I like it. So, you and your millennial friends and everyone's in college. You're doing the same exact things that anybody else is doing. That's kind of my point. That millennials are a part of the everyday culture of what we're dealing with, and we all bring different skill sets to the table, and we all have different perspectives. Of course, is what we're talking about here today on things. So, one thing that I watch very closely is email marketing. And as you know, you go to a website and you can opt into emails, opt into something. Maybe you receive something free, or you just want to be added to their newsletter. And trust me, we do the same thing. But I'm watching the ratios of the numbers, the opt-ins, the amount of people that are doing it, the amount of people that are actually reading the emails. And my question for you is, do you like email opt-ins? Do you sign up for them? When you do you read the emails, or do you eventually unsubscribe from them? Like, how do you manage that? I think it's a big question for many business owners, because there's such a push to say, you gotta grab people's email address, you gotta do this, and this is how you do it. And the more times you have it, the better, the more email addresses you get, the better your business will be. But kind of coming at it from a fresher perspective, what's your take on all that?
Personally, I'm not a big fan of email marketing. I hate when my email is clogged with a bunch of, like, not spam, but just emails from a bunch of different companies. I usually sign up to get, say, discount, like, say 10% off your order if you give us your email. So I'll do that, get the first few emails, and then if they keep sending me emails, I'll unsubscribe. So I'm not reading the emails most of the time. The only emails I really read are the ones that apply to me. So I'm not a big fan of email marketing. I don't think everyone I know is a big fan of them either. Most of them just delete them right when they see them because there's too many coming at them. Like, their inboxes get hundreds of emails a day from companies that you opted in for, so they'll end up unsubscribing like I do.
Okay. Now, we obviously know you're a Jets fan. Are you subscribed to any Jets, something that you're really excited about, and something that doesn't really apply to your business and it's more enjoyable? Do you have any emails coming from the Jets themselves or blogs related to the Jets?
I don't. I get them from the Jets themselves, but that's mainly like, say, apparel deals or ticket deals. Where I go from all my information is social media.
Okay.
So
So you can get all that information because you follow the Jets on Twitter or Facebook,
right.
Instagram. Okay.
So when I want to see them, I'll go see them. I don't
Yeah.
want them to come to me. I'll go see them if I
Yeah.
want to.
No, I like that. So, and you've seen this. I think you were part of this process, but the article we're coming out with in regards to email marketing and how there's redundancy in the way people are receiving information. You're getting it in your email, you're getting it in social media, and then you're getting it somewhere else. And maybe it's multiple social media accounts or your reader. If you use we I use Feedly, which is one of the top readers out there. It's like, I've seen the same article in three different places. That's we don't have a lot of time and energy to give to that one piece of information, where I can go out and get it, kind of like you're saying. I can go to Facebook and I can go pull that information from. Well, I wouldn't go read information about the Jets, of course, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, so I think
Right,
we're on the same
yeah.
page there. That's cool. So, using, again, more perspectives from an intern and a college student and someone that's coming up, I connected a lot with an article we wrote on Sportspreneur. It was titled "The Five Ways Young Players Can Put in the Work," and created the analogy between a young player coming in to play basketball for an NBA team, and maybe not the star player that's gonna, like Alonzo Ball, that's gonna come in day one and he's like almost in charge, but just more the regular player that's gonna come in. And the five purposes, or the 5 points, I should say, that we made with it is: one, show up with a purpose; number two, ask questions; number three, study; number four, be resourceful; and number five, prove it. And you've, in many ways in this conversation we've had, you've already addressed all of these in some form or fashion. What one of these for yourself, or just for people in general, if you're advising them, what one of those stands out to you as the most important? I know they're all important, but what one stands out to you?
Right. Well, they're all important. Obviously, I'm going to go with prove it, because it's a lot. You can walk into, say, when you interviewed me, I could have walked into this room and just talked about how great I am, how I'm going to do all these things, and then showed up day one and not have done anything. So proving it is huge. Like, you can talk all you want, but in the end, you have to do it. You have to just walk the walk.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. So now you're out there, you're proving it. But while you're doing that, while you're doing all these things, you have big fears. Everybody, every business owner, any person in anything has fears in life, but we're talking about the business life right now. And you in college and coming to be a senior, and we've kind of addressed some of these topics already, but college students, I could imagine, finding a job, dealing with student loan debt, all of these things. What right now is your biggest fear for your business life? Coming again, you're just getting started, but what is your biggest fear in your business life?
It would definitely be finding a job, by far. That is far and out number one, because I think the job you take right out of college really starts you off. So what I've seen a lot is people, college graduates, not finding a job. So they'll settle for, say, a management job at like a food place or something like that. And then they'll go to apply somewhere else and they'll say, well, you're just a manager at a food place. So I think that's huge. Finding a job is huge for me, not only me, but all of my fellow college kids. It's pretty much the biggest fear, I'd say.
Okay, cool. Now, I mentioned student loan debt as well for a lot of kids.
Right.
Do you run into a lot of students that freaks them out and they feel like, hey man, I was set up in this system and I was set up to fail because now I have all this debt and I can't get the job that I want and everybody let me down? Like, do you see that entitlement behavior?
I do see that. It's talked about a lot too. And believe it or not, I see it as a reason for people not going to college. Like, a lot of my friends from high school chose not to go to college because they saw nobody getting jobs at a college. So they pretty much saw themselves throwing away $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that would keep people up at night for a long time. Well, cool. So that's the end of the first. That's like the more thoughtful questions that we want to get into. Don't go anywhere, because we are going into some rapid fire questions right after we thank our sponsor. West Conner Insurance is a leading property and casualty agency in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks to their love of entrepreneurialism and insurance, they have sponsored this podcast. You can find the office of West Conner Insurance on Providence Road in South Charlotte, North Carolina, near the new developments of Waverly Place and Ray Farms. If you are looking to get a quote on your auto or home insurance policy, give Wes and his staff a call at 704-665-5340, or you can find them online at westconner.com. And I want to get more to the more rapid fire approach to it. We'll go quick. So pretend like you're the goalie and I'm going to shoot pucks at you one after the other. But I will say a few might be more difficult. So take your time on those and let's just hop right into it. All right. You ready?
Ready.
All right, cool. So what book are you reading right now?
Currently right now, I'm not reading one, but I just finished The Art of the Cue. I finished that in May. So I just took a little break from that.
All right, cool. And how did you read that book? Was it hardcover, paperback, Kindle, Audible, someone read it to you?
It was hardcover. Oh, traditional.
Cool. Old school. Do you use Kindle? Yeah. Do you use Audible at all? Or do you?
I use Kindle. I use my mom's Kindle sometimes.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay, cool. What is your favorite social media network and why?
Personally, I like Twitter, but mainly because I'm such a big sports fan that I can go get bunch of pretty much behind the scenes information whenever I want it. So you got all the reporters on there and I can just listen to
it. Now, does that go for your friends and the people you deal with every day in school?
No, I'd say Instagram's number one. Okay. The consensus number one is Instagram.
Cool. What social media app? Now, this one might not apply to you as much, but you never know. Mm-hmm. What social media app do you just not get?
Right. I pretty much understand all of them. However, I say Snapchat is kind of like I use it. I use it a lot. I use it with my friends and all that. But I'd say it's more of the it's kind of hard to find the identity of Snapchat.
I gotcha. Cool. What app or program is most important to you? It could be anything from like a project management tool to a calendar to a Kindle app on your iPhone. Which one do you need to have?
Currently, it's got to be the podcast app because I spend 2 hours a day driving. So that's what I do on my commutes.
Cool. What one thing would you tell an up-and-coming entrepreneur or let's say someone coming out of college, what would you tell them to focus on?
The future. Like a lot of people are thinking about right now, and whereas you should be thinking about 10 years down the road.
I like it. I like it. The long game. That's right. We love it. So we talked a little bit about, you know, you're a quadruplet, one of a quadruplet. I don't know how to properly say that, right? But what is a personal story that got you where you are today?
Well, I would say I'm going to apply to the internship. So I was just sitting on my couch thinking about what I was going to do this summer. And marketing majors at Western Carolina don't require an internship. But I was like, I'm going to look around. Like, I might as well make use of my summer. So I was searching Twitter, as we mentioned, for internships in the Charlotte area. And I found a tweet from you from January. And so I DM'd you, as you know, and asked about the position. And that's when we started connecting. And ultimately, I'm here.
Yeah. It's like a different kind of hustle, isn't it? Like when I was coming out of school, not that long ago, but like that type of stuff didn't exist. So you can meet people in different ways like that you would never have access to before.
Right.
So that's awesome. So a little bit off the beaten path right now, and we are, as you know, we were an insurance company first. That's the foundation of how we were built. We're always interested, and I know a lot of people that would listen to this podcast are interested as well. Being someone who's, you know, at the end of their college career, you said it, your older sister. Do you think about life insurance and disability insurance ever?
Honestly, no. It doesn't ever cross my day-to-day mind. Like, I never think about what'll happen if something happens to me.
Yeah. That makes sense. Have people talked to you about it? Have you heard stories? Have you been educated on it at all?
Not at all, actually. Like, before I got here, I knew the bare minimum about insurance. I've learned some since I've been here, but no, like, none of my friends are talking about it. Nobody's educating the younger generation on insurance.
Okay.
Like, life insurance, whether that be life insurance, disability, anything.
Okay. You have car insurance, obviously, right?
I do.
And do you have cell phone insurance?
No.
Okay. So we see that a lot, but that's interesting. It's great feedback, and it's not a surprise. It's not a bad thing. There's no right or wrong answer to that. It's more of a understanding the marketplace today and how people are thinking. We talked about, we had an article about millennials acquiring life insurance, and you know, the thing is it's a low cost at a young age to buy it. But like you said, there's very little education around it. So I think that's the main issue that's out there for someone who's in college or, you know, even a few years out of college. It's just understanding what options they have, why it exists, and what it's for. So interesting. Okay, so now to pick up the pace and get away from that conversation of insurance, if you could pick one team of yours, and, you know, we've talked about the Jets, the Knicks, the Mets, and there could be some other teams. If you could only have one team of yours win it all in the next year, which team would you choose?
I'd have to go with the Mets. 2 years ago, they got to the World Series to nobody's thought. Like, it was a great year. But I've watched this team trade away its veterans for prospects who, at the time, I was probably about 15, and I wanted to watch Carlos Beltran play every day, but they traded him away for prospects. Like, I wanted to watch R.A. Dickey. That was a good trade. But I watched them trade away their veteran leaders for these prospects. And at first I didn't understand it because I was younger. I just wanted to see the team do good. But now it's translating into success. So they kind of did it more the right way. And that's, I would love it.
Yeah, I get it. Now, you've been a Mets fan your whole life?
Yep.
Okay. Is your whole family Mets fans?
Yeah, my mom's side of the family is all Mets fans. The other side's pretty much Yankee fans.
Yeah.
So
I get it. So it's with you. That's ingrained in you. I get it. Right. I understand. That's cool. All right. So now we already know the Jets aren't winning the Super Bowl, right?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
So, and let's talk real quick about that before I ask this question. Are the Jets tanking this year? Is that real? Is that for real?
I'm never going to admit to it, but yes. Okay. There is no talent on the field for the Jets. I'm totally with the tanking, get a franchise quarterback, and yeah, looks like there's no in-house answers.
Okay.
So I'm with the tanking.
I like it. So next year, we're going to look at this, and we're going to be like, who's the starting quarterback for the Jets in 2018?
It's got to be, what's his name, USC quarterback?
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Okay, cool. So it's
going to
be that way.
That's my opinion right now.
Okay, cool. So then the other thing, the question is, that wasn't the main question. The main question is this, and we can come back a year from now or actually sometime in February to ask you this. See if you got it right or not. Who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
Kills me to say it, but I have to go with the Patriots.
Again.
As a Jet fan, that really,
I'm a Bills fan, so I feel your pain.
Oh, I know. All they did was improve this offseason.
They really did.
Yeah. I just can't see anyone taking them down as much as it hurts.
Not the AFC East. We know that. So.
No, yeah, we do know that.
I don't know. Maybe the Raiders. Maybe the Raiders keep their quarterback healthy this year. I don't know.
It could be, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. All right. Well, John, we really appreciate it. Before we let you go, I think, you know, these types of things, having a podcast, you bring incredible perspective to the table, and we appreciate it. I know the audience, the people that listen to it, will appreciate it as well. I do want to open the opportunity for anybody to reach out to you if they have questions or want to talk to you further. Obviously, you're on Twitter, you have email, you have a phone number. What's the best way people can get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me socially, JohnPriori15. I'm that on every platform. If you want to shoot me an email, you can email our work email, john@cassource.com. Or, yeah, however you want to get in touch, ask me any questions, just want to talk, feel free.
Awesome. And we're going to create a show notes page for this in which John's going to be a big part of making that happen. So we'll put all this stuff and any other references that we have in there and John's predictions for the future year and the Jets and all that good stuff in the show notes as well. So John, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. And just a reminder for those that don't know, John is a big reason why this podcast is happening right now, from the research he did on it to his excitement about the project overall. The work he did matters, and the perspectives he brought to the table for the development of this podcast overall and on this podcast specifically were his, and they are his perspectives that you as the business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself now. And for that, John, thank you. And for any business owners or entrepreneurs that are considering hiring an intern or an entry-level person, we would highly recommend it. But I would also say it's important to find a good one like John. So when you go through the process, be open to going about it differently. If you have questions on this, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter, just like John did, @Eric_Kaz, that's ERIC_KAZ, or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us on our website, kazsource.com, with links to us on the different social networks. So thank you for listening to our podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time. Until next time, we're out of here. A big thanks to West Conner Insurance for their support to the insurance community and for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.